How you doing?
I'm feeling great.
We got the
chaps
in the house tonight.
Yes, we do, man. Unbelievable, man. Titans in here. About to go off, dude.
We ready to do this stuff?
I'm ready to rock, man.
You ready to rock,
camera guys? Ready to roll. Mike, you ready?
Ready. Listen free to Hot Boxing, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. If you love the show, share it with a friend, and don't forget to leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special episode of Hot Boxing. Off the fucking hook, baby.
It'll be so cool.
I'm Eben Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson.
And Mike, we've got the champ, Evander Holyfield, in the house.
Go for it. Five-time champ, heavyweight champ.
Unbelievable.
Man, the real deal, Holyfield, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
What you doing in town, man?
Well, you're down here for this, about cancer, but cancer survivor.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. An event?
Yes.
Awesome.
Eben, ask him some questions, man.
I just want to first start it off with, I think it's awesome that you guys have this relationship that you have. You know, the battles that you've been through. It's like Clash of the Titans with you guys, man. And talk about a little bit about how you got to this point of being friends after some of the viciousness that you guys went through. And put each other through.
I don't know. How do you explain it? You know, we've known each other for a long since we were kids.
Oh, wow.
You know? And I remember, let's just start from the beginning.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning.
Let's just start from the fucking beginning. This is going to be awesome, right? You know, I started doing amateur boxing in 1980. I won the National Junior Olympics. Then in 81, I won them again. I guess and then 82, I won the National Junior Nationals again and stuff, and then I went, I guess, to Ohio Fair, but I fought in some other championships too, and I met these guys. I met guys from all over. I met Todd Hickman. I met Ricky Womack. I met all these guys. Frank Take. I met all these other amazing fighters from different parts of the country, and they were always successful fighters, the best fighters. We were always known when they entered the tournament, they were going to win this and that, and we were all winning. Then one day, I came to the Ohio State Fair to fight in that championship, and then everybody had said, Ricky Womack lost, Frank Take lost. And everybody was like, who beat them? Who fucking beat them? I don't know, some guy named Holyfield, I don't know his name. They never said his first name, but Holyfield, Holy, who the fuck is that? You know, so that was the word going around, so that's how I first became aware of him.
How old were you?
I was 16.
Wow. You first heard the name.
Yeah.
How old were you then?
Well, I was 20.
Oh, wow.
Because I hadn't made it to the Pan American game yet.
That's amazing. Where did you grow up, Evander?
I grew up in Atlanta.
Grew up in Atlanta?
Yes.
And when did you start boxing?
Started 8 years old. Coming in from the football field. And,
oh, wow.
And I wanted to hit the speed bag. But the man said, you got to be on the boxing team. I said, well, I want to be on the boxing team. He said, nope. And it's, for 4 days, he kept saying no. Then on that Friday, and I looked at him. He looked at me and just shook his head. And I ran up there anyway. And he let me in. And he told me, I don't want you to hit the speed bag. I want you to hit the heavy bag. So I hit it with all that I can. And I knocked the skin off my knuckle. And he started laughing. When he started laughing, I just kept hitting it like this. And he said, you're good. I said, well, thank you. He said, do you know you could be like Muhammad Ali?
Wow.
I said, I'm only 8 years old. He said, you won't always be eight. And when he said that, I knew next week I was gonna be nine. So I believed him. So he asked me, what did I think? I told him I had to ask my mama. And he said, what? I said, I got to ask my mama. And he said, you know, you got a good mama. And you know me as a kid. I was like, this man don't know my mama. But, you know, of course, he was thinking because I told him I had to ask my mama. So he told me, he said, go ask that good mama that you got and see what she say. So I went home and I asked my mama. But my brothers and sister was sitting there in the front room. They were asking me, where you going to ask mama? I didn't want them to know, because every time my mama said I could be something, my brothers and sisters said, she only saying that because she mom. So I don't want them to know. So they trying to grab me, and I pull away from it, and I go in there, and my mama eating at the table. And I said, mama. And so, you know, I was like, so my brothers and sisters looking over there, they trying to look at my lips, because they want to, trying to reach, hear what I'm saying, since I'm in trouble. Because they know as I'm in trouble, they going to get in trouble too. I said, mama. She said, what? I said, the white man at the boys club said I could be like Muhammad Ali. And my mama said, what? And so when she get that look in her eye, she getting ready to swing. So I know that look in her eye, so I back a little bit, because I know she getting ready to swing at the head. And so my mama said, do you know what they going to do to you? And I said, well, no. She said, they going to hit you. When she said that, I looked at her, and I started laughing. I get 3 whoopings a day. All my brothers and sisters get a chance to hit me, and I can't even hit them back. So my mama said, well, you can hit them back. Like that, and she told me I can get on the boxing team. I go in the bathroom. I looked in the mirror and say, Evander Holyfield, the heavyweight champion of the world. It didn't sound good, but I said it. I kept saying it every time I go to the bathroom. I like this because I really want to make my mama proud. And so I go back and tell Mr. Morgan, my mama said I could be the heavyweight champion of the world. And he looked and said, what? I said, my mama said I could be the heavyweight champ of the world. Now, I'm thinking this overnight. And he said, son, sit down. Let me tell you this. He said, now, I don't have that much time, because he was 60 years old.
Who was
60? Mr. Morgan. And he said, I ain't got that much time. He said, all right. He said, look. He said, let me explain something to you. And he said, now, you know what a fantasy is? I said, no. He said, all right. He said, because I got to know, because I ain't got that much time. He said, now, this is what a fantasy is. A fantasy when you want to do something, but you ain't willing to work at it. And I said, okay. He said, oh, so is this a fantasy or a goal? He said, because I ain't got that much time. I said, well, a goal. He said, okay then. You fight tomorrow. I said, we ain't my practice. He said, we fight tomorrow. I said, yes, sir. The next day, they put me on the gloves and stuff. And like that, he said, see that kid right there? I said, yes, sir. He said, when the bell ring, I want you to run out there as fast as you can and hit him in the nose. And I said, okay. So I look at the kid, and that coach told him to run over and hit me in the nose. The bell rang. I run out there, and the other kid run out there. So the white kid got close to me, and he closed his eyes. I didn't close my eyes. I hit him red in the nose, and he started crying. He said, oh, God, and started crying, and the referee stopped the fight. And Mr. Morgan get caught up in the rope trying to get in there, and he get through, and he said, do you know what you done? I said, you told me to hit him in the nose. He said, yeah, you took your first step in being the heavyweight champ of the world. Like this, and
wow.
And they give me this trophy. So when I come home there, and I show the trophy to my mama, and my mama put that smile on her face, and she put it on the shelf. Everybody came in the house and said, Miss Holyfield, who is the boxer? And she would look and she would smile and say, that little one right there. They say, he limp. My mama said, but he can fight. And that started off. Then all of a sudden, I win another trophy and another trophy. And I, my mama liked trophies. So I finally felt like I was a part of the family because I could do something real well.
Talk about your tournaments. When's your first tournament?
Well, you know, of course, you know, and from that point on, I ran about four or five fights. And then all of a sudden, I get 12. And this Junior Olympic time. Mm. That now I'm fighting kids all over the state of Georgia.
And that's fun, though. You see so many fighters you never knew existed, right?
Right. Then, you know, you had...
And everybody's talking, that's such and such, that's such and such, that's such and such. I saw him win the Nationals twice. I saw him win the World Tournament. I saw him win the Olympics. And everybody's names going. Everybody's wearing their badges that they won their tournaments. And you're fucking... fuck the champion of the world. Now. He's just a kid. He's the best fighter in the world. Everybody's losing their mind.
Yeah, so here it is. And my first loss, I'm like, I fight this kid now. My brother had told me white boys couldn't fight. And I thought he was telling the truth because all the white boys I fight, they say, oh God. And they like this. But all of a sudden, my coach, Mr. Morgan, who white, told me, he said, are you afraid of this kid here? And I looked at him. You know, this kid was different from the other white kids because he didn't have no velvet trunks on and he didn't have his initials and his mom and dad weren't with it. And this hair was long. And all these other kids had the short hair. And all of a sudden, Mr. Morgan asked me now, I said, no. Because I looked at him because he's white. Now, wow. Regardless to how he look, he's still white. So that's what my thinking was. Then all of a sudden, the bell rung. Mr. Morgan said, hit him in the nose. Boy, I hit this boy right in the nose. And he hit me back.
Yeah, that's an interesting feeling, huh?
Well, so for the whole time, me and him were toe-to-toe and... The bell rung. That's my first time ever hitting the bell rung. Now they used to call me one knock, one punch Holyfield because I should stop all the other fighters. I stopped them. Now all of a sudden, I go back to the corner. Mr. Morgan said, "What's wrong?" I said, "He hit me back." He said, "Welcome to boxing." And so all of a sudden, go out that second round. Me and this guy go toe to toe for a minute and a half, like this. And Mr. Morgan said, "What's wrong?" I said, "He hit me in the stomach." He said, "Hit him back in the stomach." Then all of a sudden, the third round, the bell rung. Mr. Marcus said, you got to go back out and see who won. And he said, the winner, Cecil Collin. And everything just went quiet. Man, and I started crying and I started hollering and told Mr. Morgan I didn't like him no more. I told him, I quit. Like this, and so I was crying, and they were trying to get me to be quiet. I'm like, man, I was so mad. Now, all of a sudden, I told Mr. Morgan I ain't like him no more, and all this, and I quit boxing. And I go home, and I tell my mama, and my mama say she didn't raise a quitter. So what that means? She said, you going back? And she said, I don't care how many times you're losing, you're going back. You don't quit. And so come Monday, I went back. And Mr. Morgan asked me, so why are you doing here? I said, my mama said I had to come back. He looked at me, did I not tell you had a good mama? So I'm mad even more because I don't want to box anymore. And so Mr. Morgan asked me, he said, why were you so crying and angry? I called, you told me I could be the heavyweight champ of the world. He said, well, you can still be the heavyweight champ of the world. I said, I lost. He said, son, you didn't lose? I said, they gave him the trophy. And he said, yeah, because he got the decision. And I said, well, did that mean I lost? He said, no, you did not lose. I said, then Why they ain't get me the trophy? It's because you didn't get the decision. I said, what that mean I lost? He said, no. You lose when you quit, when you ain't no boxer no more. When you change your mind, you ain't no boxer no more. That means that you lost because you quit. If you don't quit, you eventually going to be the champion. It's not time for you to be the heavyweight champion of the world now today. Like, but I thought that Ali was undefeated. I thought that's the only way you could be. He said, it ain't time yet. If you don't change your mind, you're going to become the heavyweight champion of the world. So all of a sudden, I go, and so it built my confidence up. So I'm going to have to fight this white kid again. And I fight him, and he beat me again. Fuck. And I start crying. So I realized that if I tell my mama, she gonna make me go back. So I figured I'd make a sacrifice. I won't eat today, and my mom won't ask me no question. So I come home, and I take a shower and just get into bed, and I hear my mama ask my brother, where Chubby at?
Is your name Chubby?
Yeah. That was my nickname, was Chubby. Oh, my and so, God. And so, and my brother said, he don't feel good. And I knew that's the wrong answer. Because who going to tell a good mama that the kid don't feel good and she's not going to go in there?
Right.
I hear her walking, boom, 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 boom. So I act like I was asleep. And she turned on the light and I know she had to be holding her hand on her hips. And she's just looking. And I'm wondering, when is she going to leave? My eyes started blinking, and she said, boy, you don't open them eyes, I knock them eyes in your head. I opened my eyes. I said, ma'am? She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I just don't feel good, mama. She said, you know that's not the answer. And she put her hand on her hips, and she said, who won that fight?
Oh, no.
When she said that, I realized that, you know, if you lie to my mama, it ain't over then. Whenever she find out the truth, you get into whooping. So I found that I already done lost one shot. So ain't no sense again to whoop again. So I told the truth. I lost. She said, well, okay then. You know you got to go back, don't you? I said, yes, ma'am. So I realized I got out of that bed and went on in to eat. Because my mama found out that.
Yeah.
That that's the only reason why I wasn't going to eat, because I ain't wanted to tell her the truth. So I told the truth and I ate. Then all of a sudden, I turned 13, and that's when everything changed.
What happened?
Because what happened when I turned 13, this guy Cecil Collins, I was looking for Cecil Collins, because whatever Cecil Collins weighed, I wasn't going to weigh the same thing. Hmm. So, you know, we used to fight at 100 pounds. So I brought a 5-pound weight with me because I wasn't going to fight Cecil Collins because he the only white boy that could beat me. Now, all the other white boys can't beat me. Now, Cecil Collins can, but nobody else. Now, I'm going to dance around Cecil Collins. So I bring this 5-pound weight. So I had four of my friends who got on the boxing team because they know who win the tournament, get to go out of town. And so this is going to be our first time staying in a motel. So they told us what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Oh, shoot, man.
That's super exciting.
Everybody jumped in there. So all my friends, they ain't fought yet. They don't know that white boys can fight. So they don't know that. So We go to the tournament, and they go in the weigh-in, and they see all white boys. All of a sudden, they say, Holyfield, we know we're going to beat these white boys. I zipped it up. So I ain't said nothing. They say, man, these white boys, you know they can't fight. I ain't said nothing because I know if I said some on Ken, they going to say, how you know? So then they going to know somebody beat me. Yeah. So I ain't said nothing. So we all win the first night, the second night, and the third night.
Interesting.
So all of a sudden, we came to the final. So we had to fight two times in one day.
I remember we used to do that twice a day.
Yep. Three-round fights?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
So 3 minute rounds.
And so all of a sudden, come that evening, the first guy lose, the second guy lose, the third guy lose, the fourth guy lose. So I was the last one. They said, Evander, we had cramps. I said, well, I ain't got no cramps. They said, you still going to lose? I said, no, man, I would lose, but my mama going to get me. So your mama was the excuse. I said, my mama said, if I be the only one to show up, then I have to do it, man. They said, well, you going to lose anyway? I said, no, I'm not. So they, you know that guy that sees the column? I said, he didn't show up. Then they said, what is his name doing right here? I see this kid's name, and I start crying instantly. I couldn't hold back the tears. And then they said, see, you crying already. So all of a sudden, they followed me to the gloving table. When they get to the gloving table, they see this white kid. They say, you see Sakali? He said, yeah. They say, you beat Holyfield? He said, yeah. You going to beat him again? And he said, yeah. Then they said, I told you you're going to lose. And I just started crying right in front of that kid. I started crying. And so the people that ran the organization knew who I am. And they told me I ain't got to fight him. And I said, no, my mama going to get me. They said, they not going to tell. Now, I can try to whoop Cece. I can't try to whoop my mama.
Yeah.
So you're very intimidated of your mother?
Oh, shoot, man. Whatever my mama said goes. So you know what? What I did, I prayed. Now, this is how I end up praying for all my whole life because my mama taught me how to pray. And one day, my mama was whooping me, and she was whooping me too long. And I called Jesus, and my mama stopped. She stopped. And she was so mad, and I can feel the heat off her face that she wanted to hit me again, but she didn't hit me. And so my mama whooped me again one time, and I called Jesus. She stopped again. So I realized I want to win so bad that I didn't care. And I just said, saying, please, Jesus, help me. And my friends, them started laughing at me and said, he called it Jesus. And they laughed at me all the way up to the ring like this. And Mr. Morgan, my coach, didn't say nothing. He said, now, you know if you cry, they're going to stop the fight. Just do your best. And I went out there, and I beat him.
For the first time, huh?
My first time.
Wow.
And from that point on, I prayed every fight. Wow. Like that. I lost 9 other times, but.
That's amazing.
When did you meet me? Do you remember ever meeting
me? I met you in 84. 84.
Wow.
We were both on the losing squad, man. What? From the losing squad.
Where were you guys?
In the Olympic trials.
Olympic trials?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And the first time you guys fought was that first fight?
In 96.
Yep. Yeah.
That was your first fight ever.
And we sparred.
We sparred one or two rounds.
Yeah.
Okay, so you knew each other.
Yeah.
Well, I watched the first fight this past week. I watched it. And,
no, but before that, we got to talk
about it. Yeah, go more.
We had the Olympic trials. We're not at the trials no more. We had the Olympic because he beat the guy that beat him twice, so he's on the Olympic team now. Mm. Right? So I'm watching the fight, and I'm watching him fight. I think it's Ken Berry.
Kevin Berry, yeah.
So I'm watching him fight. But I'm watching him kick the other couple of guys' asses before he got to that guy.
Uh-huh.
And we say, fuck yeah, right? And so when he fought Berry and the Bill said, bing, he hit them, boom, he knocked them. The guy was already beaten. He didn't really win. That was just a God blessing that he got, that Vander hit him. And for him, it was. And then what was I doing? I was walking somewhere and I had some girls around me. And I just heard somebody say, hey, Mike! And it was him. He was walking down the street. And I just saw him lose the fight. He was by himself. And then we went to a restaurant.
Yep.
What'd you guys do?
Just sit down.
Just chill.
Talking about our fucking fights. And I remember him saying this. He said, fuck, I can't get my Riviera now. I lost. I can't get my Riviera. I guess somebody promised if you win the Olympics, I'll get you this car. And he said, fuck, I can't get my car now.
Yeah, Ken Sanders. And then the promoter that was going to promote me, he had a car dealership.
Yeah.
Buick.
Oh, wow.
And now I think of it now. I mean, we had so many cars since then. And that time, that was just so important to him. He couldn't get a fucking Riviera.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wouldn't even give a Riviera to a gift for somebody. But back then, it was so important. A Riviera.
That's so funny. So how did you guys feel when the fight got put together? How did that come about?
No, we had the fight before and it got postponed.
Oh, really?
In 91, I guess it was, right?
Yeah, 1991, yeah.
91.
How did you guys feel? How did you feel, Mike? Because you knew him and you guys had been close and you probably had a lot of respect for him.
This is interesting to discuss that. See, at first, when we first were going to fight, he was champion.
Yeah.
He was champion. Mm. And then when I went to prison and came back, I won the title. Then I was the champion. He was trying to regain the championship.
In 96?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you feel about that, Evander?
Well, it was just, actually, it showed me, you know, because me and Reddick Bo fought the fight, and I had hepatitis. I had some bad seafood, and this stuff, like, it can almost kill you.
Yeah.
And so your energy up, then it drops, it up, and it drops like this. But they told me to pull out. Mm. But I realized I'm not getting ready to miss this $9 million. I'm getting $9 million. And I don't train. I had already been training. I had trained 10 weeks already. So I got 3 more weeks, and I told him, I said, I don't care. I'm not pulling out. And the doctor told me, he said, Evander, I advise you. He said, your stomach, it's going to mess your stomach up. I didn't care. Reddick Bo can fight, too.
Yeah.
And God, dog. I had him, then all of a sudden, my energy just left. I knocked him down and couldn't finish him. Ugh. And the next round, he catch me in a shot, hit me in the back of the head, and like that, and they start the fight. Now, to see him jump around the ring, happy and all this and stuff, and I was like, I was just glad the fight was over. Mm. And I knew that life about recovering. And so I think my next fight, I fight a Bobby Chess. Mm. And so Bobby Chess was the first guy that I fought that I was bigger than.
Mm.
So everybody expected me to knock him out cold. But Bobby Chess put up a fight that was tough. But Bobby Chess went back to the corner and said his back was hurt. And then his corner people told him, no, you got something in your eyes. And he goes along with the story that he got something in his eyes, so they stopped the fight and they tucked my gloves and all the on the check, make sure I ain't got no ointment that I put in the thing. But they called it on the television that he said his back was hurting, and the guy told him he had something in his eyes. Then after that, I said, then I get a call saying that they a discussion. They want me to come to Canada for a discussion to fight Mike Tyson. Don King was saying, Evander got 1 foot in the graveyard and one on the banana peel. It's impossible for him to win this fight. And so,
what a dick.
And that process, and they were still talking, and then it looked like the fight getting ready to take place. Then the Christian people start protesting. Say, you know, Evander Holyfield got a bad heart and all this and stuff like that. They were protesting so much. So they told Don King, you got to send him to the Mayo Clinic because they didn't want a Muslim to be a Christian. Oh, and so
crazy.
So they made, and the Mayo Clinic came back and said, if that's anybody that can live to 100 years old, our money is on Evander Holyfield. He have no contusions or nothing. He said, we know he get hit, but ain't nothing showing that anything, no kind of effect on him. And so Don King running back with that letter, showing everybody, I got it. And so this showed that I was in good health. And that's how everything came into that, to the fight being made.
Wow. How long did it take for, because the hepatitis, you got that taken care of before that all went down. What was the treatment for that?
Hey, it wasn't nothing the more
nothing?
The time.
Oh, okay. Like,
my whole thing is that the guy told me, he said, I'm telling, the doctor told me, he said, hey, Bander, you don't want to go in like that. Mm. And I started saying, you don't understand, that's $9 million.
Yeah.
That's $9 million. I told him, you know, I had never pulled out a fight a day in my life. I had never pulled out a fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And plus, I had already trained 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. I ain't got them 3 more weeks.
Yeah.
And so he was telling me this stuff, go mess with me for a whole week. I said, well, so, but I got two more weeks for the fight. This is where I thought, and you know,
yeah.
I had this thing where that I ain't never want to pull out nothing. I had this thing that I was looking at all the fighters. I said, I want to be the fighter who did everything right. Did everything right. If I did everything right, that's the only thing I can say. I did everything right. I want to do the very best that I could, and doing the very best that I could, I got toe up that time, and I said, well, I just forgive myself and said, I'll never do that again. I'm sick again. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I'm out of there.
Well, that probably just goes back to you being a little kid, you know, and not your mom never letting you quit.
Well, yeah. The process was my mother said, man die only one time, a coward die 1,000 times.
Oh, wow.
Stand up, son. Stand up now. Don't let this stuff happen to you. Because I used to run for fights all the time. I run real fast. I run real fast, and I can hit real hard. And so if I hit you and you didn't fall down, you ain't gonna catch me. I was fast. I was a good runner. I can hit hard. And everybody know if I get one shot on your behind. And like this, my brother said, if you don't knock him down that shot, run.
Everybody think? What did you think when we all turned pro in 84? And you made that big professional debut in Madison Square Garden with Mark and everybody. And everybody was winning, and we started getting our calls. And all of a sudden, I got my promotion, and I just started soaring up.
Well, you know, the thing is that it was kind of,
You thinking with the shit I was saying?
My thinking was, my whole thing that everybody had their way of doing things. I'm telling you, you know, you had your way, and Mark Breland and everybody else had that way. Now, mine was a little different. Mine was to be quiet, don't say nothing. My mama says, son, let me tell you something. If you zip it up, you ain't going to have no pressure. Don't let them get you in their battle. If they get you in that battlefield, they going to beat you. He said, let them say what they want to say. So I seen everything everything come around.
He never said nothing bad to me. I said miserable things to him. He never said nothing bad to me.
Why? Well, because I remember, because, you know, because Michael was said something like, Mike said on TV, and he said, well, Evander, he liked being around white people because he liked for them to tell him what to do. Like this, and I'm like, and it was an ABC fight, and he was saying that, so they got me on it, and they asked me, they said, what do you feel about what Mike said? I said, well, you know, I said, you got to understand. I said, Mike younger than me. I said, Mike really don't know. I said, so I ain't got nothing to say about it. And they said, what? But he said this. I said, but Mike don't understand. I said, it's okay. And they go, who told you to say that? I said, my mama said, we don't embarrass each other. Just because somebody else says something bad, you don't do it. I said, my brothers and sisters used to always said something bad about me, my mama said, don't you let them bring you down that way. I said, so that's the whole thing. So I learned to being able to accept people for who they are. And see, and Mike was the person that I seen work hard. Mike used to hit the heavy bag, and for 3 whole minutes, he hit that thing as hard as he can, like this and stuff. And I'm like, man, how in the world did he do that? I do about a minute and a half or two, and like something standing on my shoulder. And I'm just trying to throw no combination.
But I used to see you work out immensely hard, too. I used to see him we used to work out in Texas, Abercrombie. Remember that?
Yep.
In Texas somewhere. Out in nowhere, Texas. And, man, him, Virgil here, they used to be doing sprints just around the whole thing, man. It must have been a mile just one time around the sprint and all that. It's working hard. It's like a slave camp for gladiators.
Yeah.
It's working hard. That's all we did was work hard.
Just training. It's amazing. Mike, how did you feel when Evander didn't have any reaction to what you were saying?
I used to say he's a good guy. I always knew he's a good guy, but yeah. I was always ego-driven.
Yeah.
You know, my world was all about me. Everything that happened was about me, you know? I needed people around me. I needed you got to obey me, this and that fucking shit. Get my car. I needed that fucking, if I didn't have that, I was nothing.
In other fights with other people, when you would do your talking, would anybody react to that? Or were people kind of scared of what you were saying?
Well, I want them to react.
Yeah.
That was the game for them to react.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think it's interesting Evander's approach. He was like, hey.
No, he didn't react. I want people to react. I wanted to get in people's head.
Yeah, you wanted people to be like, head. Yeah, yeah.
And he was a professional. He would never.
Yeah, that's.
Actually, it was my mama. My mama said, let me tell you something. Don't let him get in your head. He said, you zip it up. My mama didn't know nothing about boxing, but she said, look, don't let him get in your head and get you to be like him. He wins the fight if he gets you like him. He said, look, his job is to get you to act like him, and he gonna win his fight if you get him like this. She said, no, you don't get angry, don't act like you're angry, and don't let him talk you into it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a masterful technique, man. Well, it's interesting to me watching Mike's fights and then watching you guys fight. And most of the fights you've ever been in, Mike, it looked like you just outmatched your opponent with energy and tenacity. But in your guys' fight, Evander was fucking bringing that same energy and intensity. And how did that feel for you as you were preparing for the fight, because you guys knew each other for so long? And what was your mentality like preparing for that battle?
I came out of prison, right? And I beat, who did I beat? I beat 3 guys, and then I think I got 2 belts. I unified the title, and then I guess they stripped me for one of the belts. WBA, they stripped me for one. They didn't want me to have all the belts. Listen, man, they hated on me so bad when I first came out, because I came out with a vengeance. I think everybody was the fault that I went to prison. it was everybody's fault I went to fucking prison, and everybody treated me bad when I was in prison and talked bad about me and this and that and this and that. So I came out there like I need revenge, and people have to respect me and all that bullshit, right? So I was in there. I thought I was mad. I'm going to win this fight. But when the fight started, I hit him in the body. Do you remember? I hit him with a great body punch. And then he came back with some shit. He had kept fucking shit. I said, oh, shit. And then we were fighting. And something happened. I threw a punch at him in the body, and I went down. And when I was down, the referee started counting. I said, you fucking asshole. I was yelling at him. Then he went back to the corner. And I said, all right, we're fighting. And then we went fighting and fighting. And a couple of stops, he counterpunched me with some shot. I couldn't feel the punch. Boom, I numbed. My legs were going all over the place. But I wasn't going down. I kept coming back. I wanted to fucking bite him then, right? And I was just, we were just fighting and fighting, and the referee stopped the fight.
Oh, my God. Evander, how about you? What was your mindset and your game plan going into that?
Well, the thing is that I realized that Mike worked hard, but I started seeing when they got rid of Kevin Rooney, and so I realized that's when I started realizing, he Norman now. Because Kevin Rooney had him, Mike would punch, Mike step off his right foot, may hit you with something. So they put Mike in kind of like a pattern, a 1-2. Before he do something, he going to go this way, then this. And so I know what to look for. At first, it was always like, you don't know which hand he going to punch with. When he started going, he was shifting like this, so he can punch off this side and this side. So all of a sudden, he got to the point he owned a punch on this side. And so I knew, okay, he hit me with this left hook. I can block the left hook and all this. And then if he throw the right hand, it's going to be short because I'm going to be leaning back. So I knew how to get him. So the whole big thing is to set myself up for the counter shots. Mm. Okay. If he beat me to the shot, then I knew what he was going to do. Every time he fights somebody, I never miss not one of Mike fight. Because my mama said, you can't wish some people away. If a person is good, you think they just going to fade out? Uh-uh. My mama said, you're going to face him. He going to always be there. And he was.
Wow. And I would go in the fight, and I was fighting him. I go up and boom, and he hit me. I said, how do you do that? How the fuck you do that? What happened just now? What did I do to fucking fuck up that I got hit like that?
You could see in the fight, I mean, you knew your opponent very well, you know. And you could see that you had watched all his fights.
So, but one thing that I knew that inspired me to be heavyweight is called... If Mike can do it, I can do it. I ain't nowhere in the world. If he can become the heavyweight champion, I can. And my arm's longer than his. Now, Mike gonna hit them with big shots, but I have fast hand, and I'm gonna hit them with a lot of shots. Because everybody said, "What's the difference?" I said, "Well, that's just like George Foreman. They told me he throw boulders." I said, "Yeah, but I throw a lot of rocks." I'm going to hit him with so many rocks, he ain't going to be able to throw the big one.
What was that like fighting with George, man?
Well, he was so much stronger than me.
That must have been crazy, right?
Well, yeah. He took all the shots. I could pull it. And then I hit him one time 18 shots, and he took them. Like this. And I'm like, and everybody said, well, what happened? I said, long as I'm throwing shots, he going to stay covered up. So I ain't got to worry about getting hit with nothing if he stay cover up. And that's the whole art of the game. If you hit that guy, the other guy going to go defense. That letting you know that you hitting hard, because if you ain't hitting hard, they'll fight with you. So I was willing to go punch with anybody because I had quicker hands. Mm. But only person that could match my speed is Mike. Mm.
You have you're an awesome counterpuncher. You know that counterpuncher? Yeah, he's an awesome counterpuncher. Probably the best ever.
Wow.
Incredible counterpuncher.
That's amazing. How do you train that? Just watching film and understanding what a guy's tendencies are?
The thing is that my mom always told me, she said, you don't never know who you are until you get tired. When you get tired, who gonna muster it out? Who willing to go through the unnecessary thing?
Your mother was like a typical Newt Rodney or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally,
like,
man.
Newt Rodney. You know, gotta do it. We gotta fucking do it.
My mom was like that with me. She said, boy, stop making up excuses. Right? You know, either you're gonna fight or you're gonna sit down. You know, cause I was the youngest one in the family. Every time I go, my brothers and sisters beat me and everything. Mama, stop complaining.
You know, I know they're reading Alexander the Great and Napoleon. They were afraid of their mothers, too.
Yeah.
A couple of those big-time guys, they were afraid of their mothers.
They had strong mothers, man.
Yeah, Nero, too. He was afraid of his mother.
Wow, that's really interesting. Was there any headbutting in the first fight?
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were headbutting.
Yeah,
no,
I did headbutt.
My whole thing is that I don't lean my head far. It's like this. I realize every time something happened, it's something my mama don't told me. She said, now.
Mama used to say.
My mama say, you know, when he headbutt me, you know what? My mom would say, just smile, act like it didn't hurt. They won't do it again. Mm. But if you show them pain, they will do it again. So you know what? He headbutted me the first time. All right. So everybody said, I headbutt. I said, how in the world are they going to say I headbutt when you see him jump off? He jumped up and headbutt me. Then he go, oh, like this. And I'm like, I should just common sense. I didn't headbutt him. He headbutt me. Then Mike started telling everybody I'm a headbutter. Then all of a sudden the thing come out. Evander's a headbutter. I said, my head hurt too. I was acting like it didn't hurt. Cause my mama told me what's gonna happen if you give in to that, he gonna do it again. So I got into it like okay, yeah. And like this, and I said, and it worked. That he ain't headbutt me no more.
Oh my God.
That was an awesome night.
That's so funny.
But what was I like back then? So what kind of guy was I like? Was I like a tough guy talking shit?
Well, you know, no, you were that with everybody else. Now, your other guy was saying that. So when these other guys were saying that, and I was like, looking, Mike ain't said nothing. And they said it. Then they start saying, you don't want to tell the truth because you don't want Mike to get mad at you. And I said, oh, they trying to get me to talk where Mike can get mad. Because I know what Mike already said, because I heard Mike tell people that it's hard to be mad with Holyfield because he don't do nothing wrong. He don't do nothing wrong. My mama said, son, the mentality, you know, don't put yourself in a situation because he said, you know, you get behind them boys, they all going to jump on your ass. And I probably ain't going to get out because I'm going to get them back. But so my mama said, you know, you got to let the revenge be the Lord. Now remember that. They catch the second person all the time.
So tell me, how's your life been since you've been champ and all that stuff? How's life been? You know, let's say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and up to now, how's life been?
Life always been great, because the whole big thing is me displaying that I will forgive, because that's all people ask. And how in the world you can forgive somebody? I say, everything that ever happened, at some point in time, I did it. I said, now, Mike bit me. I said, now, I bit somebody, too.
Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you.
It just went on TV. You know, I bit somebody just went
did
on TV.
Did you really?
Yeah. I bit a guy in the shoulder. He dropped me. And I didn't know when you had a concussion, you'll bite, too. The guy dropped me, and I got ready to swing, and he grabbed me, and I bit him red on the shoulder. Like this, and because as you know, as soon as that Mike bit me, and this
that
guy
back then, you doing it for a trophy. We doing it for $50 million. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
But the same thing. You know what the guy said? The guy called me and said, "Do you remember when you bit me?" That's how I sure did, bitch. I said, you shouldn't have grabbed me. I nipped him right down the shoulder.
Did you take a chunk out?
No.
Listen, that's been like, this is so interesting, right? How many people have paid me money to take pictures biting their ear? Yeah. I recouped my $3 million I was penalized for.
Wow. Wow, Mike.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why would you want me to take a picture biting your ear? That's just crazy.
That's crazy.
And they pay you for it. $250.
I mean, it's gotta be like
2,000 people.
It's gotta be one of the most iconic moments in fighting.
When people take pictures, they want to bite your ear or anything?
Well, you know, they asked. I said, I don't remember for that, you know.
Yeah.
I forgave him. I said, I forgave him.
I love that.
I think we're making some ears. You might be in business with. We're going to make some holy ears. Some
edibles.
Edibles. That got a bite taken out.
A little ear with a bite taken out of it.
Holy ears.
We got to take a mold of your ear, Evander.
Well, I can do that.
All right. Hell
get
yeah.
Involved with us, Evander.
Yeah, brother.
Be involved with us, brother.
We flew out to Alabama to talk to the University of Alabama football team.
Right? Alabama, yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
And Mike gave it the best talk.
Really? Think so?
The best talk I've ever seen given to a football team, man. Literally the best talk. Most incredible, inspiring, epic talk. And at the end of it, they opened it up for questions, and one of the kids in there said, "Hey, man, why'd you bite Evander's ear?"
No, he said, "Why'd you bite that dude's ear?"
Yeah, why'd you bite that dude's ear?
He wasn't even born when I bit Evander's ear.
I know, this dude is probably born in like 90, or fuck, he was probably born in 2000, this kid. And Mike said, "I didn't give a fuck." And it was like, oh my God.
It was just nuts back then. But life was crazy back then.
It's amazing that you guys have just had this relationship, you know? And you watched each other fight and had a lot of respect for each other, I can tell. You know, and then you fought each other twice.
Since amateurs, we've been watching each other fight.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. Amateurs. And how does it feel now, man? How does it feel like having that legacy and just, you know, both of you as champion fighters?
Does it feel like it ever happened? Doesn't it feel like it was a blur to me? I feel like it never, my whole career is boxing, me and the kid learning from customers. It just disappeared. I mean, most of the people, like probably Evander, some of the guys I fought, you know, if I don't see them, like when Purnell died, that was like a piece of me died. I said, whoa. I remember him when I started boxing. I remember seeing him and just looking up to him. He was such an awesome boxer.
Thing is that I always knew that Mike was special because I say, ain't no way in the world he done did things that nobody ever done in life. I'm talking about for skin color and all. And so the things that Mike have done, ain't nobody ever done it in this world. So I know that he got a gift. It, you know, like it's almost like when I look at the Bible, I look at Paul. Now, Paul was killing everybody. Then when Paul switched up, and because they knew how Paul was. And so the whole big thing, God used people who they mind is they do what they say they're going to do. If Mike like you, he like you. If Mike don't like you, he don't like you. Yeah. I think that's all to it.
Yeah.
That's the whole art of life. As a person stable enough to know what they like and what they don't like. I never have no problem with anybody who being the way they are. I can love you for who you are. Because the whole big thing, because that's what it is. Because I think that's the whole success part of a relationship.
Absolutely. That's so good, man.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do with your life so far now on?
Well, my whole thing now, I'm just trying to get my sons and daughter. I don't have any grandkids.
No grandkids?
Not yet.
No. So, looking forward to it?
Well, I'm talking if, you know. I
want some grandkids.
No, but I ain't going to tell them because I want them to get them. Because I want them to know when I become a grandfather, they ain't get nothing. It's going for the grandkids. Like this, because this is what it was to me. So, you having grandkids, when you're having kids, they're yours. You take care of them. So,
That's amazing.
I want grandkids before I get too old.
Yeah.
I want to see them at least a teenager before I die, if I could talk to them and tell them shit what I did when I was their age.
Yeah. You guys would both be some pretty epic grandfathers.
Well, I'm not going to be a... Because I, you know, my whole thing, I think I'm going to live to 120.
I love it.
So check this out, right, since you're here. So my son Miguel, right, him and his friends, right, I come by the room one day and I scared them, so they're watching me fight him, biting his ear.
Oh, my God,
yeah,
really?
I said, why are you watching this fucking fight, man? Why are you watching? You're fucking sick. This guy on the third round where I bit his ear.
What'd they say?
No, they were scared. Oh, no, it's okay,
they were like
Dad,
ashamed
Dad,
that they were watching it?
It got caught them watching it.
Yeah, you caught him? Oh, my God. Mike, how do you feel having him in here, man?
I feel, wow, that's an interesting feeling. I'm so happy that he's here and that we can talk about this. I wanted to know how did, like he was explaining that Mike don't know anybody. I was explaining, why, how did he feel about me? He's talking all that fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, fucking talking bullshit. I'm this and that, and I'm going to do this. And it's like fucking wrestling. Now that I think about it, it was like fucking WWE.
Yeah, it's WWE.
Fucking WWE.
You created that, dude. You created that mindset, those characters. Let's just talk shit before the fight.
I always wonder, how can you be so good and be so humble? I couldn't keep it around me. I couldn't control my ego.
Well, you know, I really didn't have one. My mama beat the ego out of me.
Wow.
I'm telling you, energy. My mama.
It was really like that. He didn't have an ego.
I'm talking
about fuck with him, do everything.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting.
My mama likes that. My mama was telling me, same way you went up, same way you come in. You come right back down, them people. Like this, my mom would tell me that. Now, she told me that before I even came good. She said, but let me tell you something. Going up, then coming down, you're going to come right back by them same people. Don't you embarrass nobody going up. It's because you come in, you see, son.
I learned that too.
Yeah.
I learned that too.
It's not how long you stay up there, but you coming down, you're not going to be that person.
Wow.
You're coming back down. You know,
that's amazing.
Do you miss that lifestyle? The championship lifestyle, the planes, the mansions, the boats and shit?
No, you know what? I my life became great by the time I turned 17, 18, when I was able to work myself. Because once you start making your own money, you ain't got to worry about nobody to give you nothing. That was freedom come. Oh, you know, I pay my own bills and all this and stuff. So my mama told me, I said, how much money did you used to make? I used to make $8,000 a year. She said, okay. And you thought you were doing good, right? I said, well, I was doing good compared to something I was. And my mama said, now, $8,000 is the pocket change for you, right? She said, yeah, see? She said, remember that. Remember the first time you thought you were doing well. That would let you know that, hey, if you save, that means that you're trying to help somebody else. You can only help somebody when you got more than enough. So if you ain't saving, you ain't planning on helping nobody else. So my mama always say, got to help somebody, boy. God, dog it. It ain't just for you, just you living good. Got to look out for somebody else. So as long as you're looking out for somebody else, then they're going to come back to you.
That's humility, you know. I'll give you all my money too, but you got to tell me I'm great. You got to tell me I'm beautiful. You got to tell me I'm glorious. You can take all my money. You can stroke my ego. You can have it all. I'm a sucker. I'm sorry.
It's really incredible to see you two guys together and hear, you know, Evander, how you came up and how your mother was such a huge influence on your mindset. And then, you know, getting to know Mike, it's like you guys were yin and yang when you got in there. It's pretty amazing. it's really beautiful to see
it
you guys
so
have
big,
this relationship.
Though. You know, you can't imagine that this stuff now wasn't as big as the. They made more money.
Yeah.
Maybe more people saw it, but it was the. If you had the atmosphere from that event and the atmosphere from any other event passing that, it wouldn't compete.
Yeah.
Not even in the same atmosphere. They couldn't breathe. It's too high. The air is too thin where we were.
Yeah.
Only a select few can reach that level.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's special. It's really special.
Well, you know, when I look at it, I era was the best era. Because you know what? I said, Mike became the youngest heavyweight champ of the world. I said, now, they know they cheated me out the fight when I fought this Russian. This the guy Valua.
Is that the giant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now they know I beat him, and I would been the old. I would been the oldest heavyweight champion of the world. So I would have broke George Foreman record.
Yeah.
So they said, why that was so important to you that you always mentioned? I said, because I wanted the people to understand the era that I was in. They had the youngest and the oldest two, the oldest part. I said, which you know, the Ali era that Mike broke it, and with George Foreman era, I broke it. I said, you know, but they act like that didn't even happen. They didn't say nothing. They know I won 11 out of 12 rounds of the fight.
And you go like this, right? With our ego's perspective, even though you're having, it's not for the youngest and the heavyweight champ to ever live. That's true, right?
Yeah.
For both, for the youngest and the oldest.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if there's any doubt about that. You guys were the greatest era of fighting the world has ever seen.
As of now, what I'm saying, you know, as of now, because, you know, each generation get better.
Right. Mike said that yesterday, too. Mike was saying every generation gets better.
But it was listen. In our era, this is something that you probably won't ever, it'll never happen again. I don't know. Probably it is. I'm not God. Like, where people had crews, where it was just people on certain crew. This is his crew. This is my crew. Hmm. Throughout the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah, the world.
Yeah. And yeah. They're bickering and they're betting and talking shit and fighting to all the world.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid going to somebody's house for a party to watch that second fight. And people were mind blown when it got stopped.
It's going nuts, huh?
People were nuts. It's,
you know,
so amazing.
I think, I guess the interesting thing to me is that even in my family, there's a lot of people, for Mike, they sit there and they should tell me, say, see what's going to happen when you fight Mike. because it's like this. Everybody go on, people go on their lifestyle. Now, when you get upset, you go off on people. Now, and my brothers and sisters like that.
We're ghetto people, man. We
got the same mom. And so my mama said, shut the mouth. Now, so I shut my mouth. I was the only one that was just like this. And they would laugh. So they whole big thing was telling me, let's see, when did you fight, Mike? They were telling me, all right. Let's see what happens when you fight Mike.
That's crazy.
You know, so I ain't said nothing. So, of course, when I fight Mike, I win. And so they see me and they go, you know I was for you. I said, I know what you told me. I know what you told me.
I remember. I remember.
Like the song, I don't get mad, but the point of the matter is that I realized this. Everybody know that Mike get ready to fight. Y'all need to be quiet because Holy's gonna watch the TV when he don't want nobody to say nothing. Because
he done when I was young, I used to do that. I used to watch all the champions and the guys I was gonna fight. I even go to their fights and just stare them down or their family down before the fight. It was just weird. You know what I mean? It's looking crazy before they fight. Cause I'm going to have to fight them one day.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell my son who box, I said, look, you go to fight. I said, you don't go be trying to free up with the guy. You go to fight to see and pick up what you can pick up on him. I said, you may be fighting him. Mm. I said, I knew the guys that I wasn't going to fight because they were too light. Mm. They ain't going to come. They ain't going to gain that much weight like this. And I said, but a weight division behind me and a weight division up, I said, that means that at any given time, you may be able to fight him. Mm. Told my son, I said, I didn't talk much then. My mom said, you giving up information. And she trying to be friends with people, talk to people. I said, I would look at people like this, and they start thinking that I may be crazy because I didn't say much.
Yeah.
I said, well, I said, my mama told me not to say nothing. She's just look up. They mind or defeat themselves. Just don't say nothing.
Evander, what do you do these days, man?
Yeah, what do you do, dude?
I was, you know, but I got some business deals that going around that looking good. So I'm just hoping that they pan out, you know. So, you know, I don't want to say nothing before time.
Don't want to jinx it. Don't jinx it.
But it's not, you know, somebody used to tell me that jinxing it, but it's not about jinxing. It's about knowing when to speak and knowing when not to speak, you know. Because you tell somebody your stuff, then they go trying to get in it too. So, you know, I
think that you keep your guard up all the time.
No. I'm just like, it's just like, you got a good situation. You got this ranch. This was working for you. His family going to prosper because he going to set something up for them. And so I'm pretty much doing the same thing. But yours already happening. Mine ain't yet happening. It's just like, you became the heavyweight champion before I did, and I'm like, it's not like I believe I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world because you became the heavyweight champion of the world. Because I'm like saying, if he can do it, I can do it. And so that's it. Learning from the person who went ahead of your dad, where that you can make some things happen and that they didn't make happen because you learned from them. So it's now who go first. Everybody gonna get the opportunity if they don't quit.
Yeah.
So you know I'm not gonna quit.
Yes, I believe that. Yes, don't quit.
That's awesome.
You know how many people quit every day?
A lot.
Give up, man. Just put a needle in their arm and get me kill themselves. Say I can't take this shit no more.
A lot.
Not going my way. Can't take any more of this pain and suffering of not achieving my goals.
Yeah. It's awesome to have you guys in here to share this, share the knowledge, and share your experience. Well, hey, Evander, Mr. Holyfield, champ, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the time.
All right.
It's amazing. Amazing to have you in here. Is there anywhere people can find you and follow you?
You got one of these things. What is it?
The podcast, Instagram.
Not
Twitter.
You know,
we gotta get him. Who's your guy, man? Who came here with
get
you?
Get him a Twitter and an Instagram.
We'll get you an Instagram or Twitter.
Well, I do got Instagram, but I don't know what it is.
Evander, I'm the same way. I was like lost. What the fuck is the Twitter? How do they see me? Let me look at my Twitter. What's open on my? I don't know. I don't know how many followers I got, but they told me I need to have this.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
I don't know who's on my Twitter. I don't know who's following me. Who am I following? But they said I need to have this in order to get some money and get successful. That's what they told me. A fucking Twitter account for success.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Success for me is just running 10 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talk about a fucking Twitter account?
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous. Well, I'm sure everybody can find Evander Holyfield on there. So great to have you.
Thank you.
And
I wanted to say something
else.
I know we're old, but this motherfucker won't quit. He won't give up. It's hard to beat somebody that won't fucking give up.
Absolutely.
Fuck, you just don't give up, nigga.
It's awesome.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, I hear that, nigga. You
never quit.
Competitive fucker.
Never quit, man.
Fuck.
Mike, awesome. Awesome episode.
I liked it. This is beautiful.
Beautiful episode. All right, everybody. Well, we got to wrap this thing up. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. check out our website, hotboxingpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Eben Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson.
Evander Holyfield.
Real deal in the building.
Peace, everybody.
One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.